This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you. First Friday of August, I do believe. Isn't that? Is this the first Friday,
Mr.? Yes, it is, Jim.
Okay. I was trying to remember if last week was August 1st on Friday or Saturday.
No, Saturday.
Okay. So that means that it is even month, so it's go out and enjoy downtown Bloomington tonight on First Friday.
It is. A good friend, Patty Russo, friend of the show. Kelly and I are going to be heading in that direction in a little bit to go see what's happening at the convention center and then a couple other spots here in Bloomington to check out the First Friday Art Gallery Walk. So I don't know. Oh, that's on Julie Warren's sheet. And Jim, Kelly and I were at lunch earlier this week. We saw Julie Warren. And then I see Julie Warren on Facebook. Again, what's she doing for lunch? Oh, going out to lunch. So all these reasons why Julie Warren really is in charge of Bloomington.
Those fancy, that fancy job that she has where she gets to go out and experience all the cool things.
You know what she does? She visits Bloomington.
Da-dun-dun-sh.
There you go.
That's brilliant. That
Welcome.
Was absolutely brilliant. How you been? I haven't seen you for a week or so.
I've been great. I'm still still alive and kicking, Jim. It's been a long first week. The HT and some others, lots and lots of discussion about the school schedule.
I pulled that out of the news. I wasn't going to do that this week. I'd give you a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you know what? Regardless of the time of year it starts, the killer is starting on a Monday. And five full days with the kids instead of easing them back into, you know, back in the day long ago, Jim, we used to start on Wednesday or even Thursday, and then it started creeping mm-hmm. back to Tuesday. And now the last couple of years we've done Monday. And it's like, oh, my boy, the kids, you know, luckily on Thursday it rained all day. So we canceled football practice. They had alternate dismissal on the buses, which means that they stay inside until their bus gets there. And there's just some things like that that just keep them mellowed out just a little bit. But,
good.
You know, again, beautiful weather today, beautiful weather this weekend, and they'll be jacked back up for another big week.
Were the teachers mellow at all the first few days? Or
no, you know what? I'll tell you what, it's been really positive. I've seen a lot of things on Facebook and the paper, on Twitter. Teachers seem like they're in a great mood, ready to go, ready to start, and that's exciting.
Good.
And that energy is contagious. It bleeds over to the kids, of course. And so, yeah, great first week of school.
Well, I am glad to have you back. We've got a great guest lined up for tonight. Indiana State Police Trooper Kent Rolfing is going to be here in just a few minutes. He is with the methamphetamine suppression team, I think is what the official title is. As I said last week on the show when announced it, it's not a fun topic, but drugs are a problem across southern Indiana, across Monroe County, and we're going to get a little bit of insight from Trooper Kent Rolfing here in just
cool.
a little bit. Next week on the show, Vicki Pierce from Community Kitchen, first-time guest there as well, so nice to have her back. And I think Julie Warren's on the week after that.
Oh,
so
yeah. There you
maybe
go.
Maybe she'll bring some lunch for us that evening.
I doubt it.
I know. We'll see what happens. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check us out over there. Like us and follow us, and of course at WGCL Radio on Twitter. And then we're also streaming 24/7 WGCLRadio.com. And if you miss any part of the show, check us out there as well. We're going to take a break, come back, get into some weather, hit you up with some news, and we want to give Kent plenty of time in his discussion this evening. And then we'll wrap up with some sports and all that good stuff, Mr. Pillar.
Yeah, Jim, there's a rumor that our pop culture expert may be in the house for the final segment.
Really?
That'll be exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar here with you, and Kent Rolfing is going to be here in just a few minutes from the Indiana State Police Department. And for the weekend, I don't know if there's any rain expected, Mr. Pillar.
Yeah, maybe a little bit on Sunday, but beautiful day today. The rest of the night, if you're with us here on Friday, partly cloudy with a low around 62. If you're with us on Saturday morning, finish your coffee and then head off to the farmer's market downtown because it's mostly sunny with a high near 83. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 67. Then, again, Sunday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high near 83. Possible rain on Monday, but temps in the low 80s all week, so could be a nice weather week. But as always, all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
Marty Hawk was on Glass in the Morning on Wednesday this week, as she usually is, and had some big news regarding an article that was also in the paper on Wednesday this week, as county officials expect next year's election to cost about 75% more than the last presidential election. Monroe County Clerk Linda Robbins told the Herald Times this week, though, that her fellow election board members said the increase is going to be nothing like 2012. It's going to be a big one. For one thing, the electronic poll books that the county now uses require outside technical support, which cost about $150,000, and other increases, including staff needs, because we were understaffed in 2012. We'll need to accommodate for those costs as well. Board member Lorraine Farrell said the total figure almost knocked me over on first glance because it simply isn't sustainable. And county council member Jeff McKim, who attended the work session, suggested moving capital items, which total about $28,000, to the county commissioner's budget, if possible, as that board has access to funds other departments do not. So we're going to see if we can even have an election in 2016 in Monroe County.
Just gather everyone downtown like you and Keith do for the 4th of July and for the canopy of lights.
Yep.
And we just have people raise their hands.
I think
you guys just count them. I think it'd be fine.
Popular vote. Just make it simple.
Sweet. I like it. Something else that we like, Jim, is Wee Willies. We're both fans.
Yes,
Although our beloved Wee Willies is gone on Bloomington's south side, there's potentially a good use for it. And the city of Bloomington is in negotiations to purchase the former Wee Willies restaurant on South Walnut Street as an expansion of the entrance of the future Switchyard Park. An east side entrance for the 57-acre Switchyard Park originally was planned to be a 30-foot wide. Purchasing the additional property on South Walnut will allow developers to create a wider entrance for cars, bicyclists, and pedestrians, said Mick Reneisen, director of Parks and Recreation. Mayor Mark Cruzan said the Wee Willies property would allow the future Switchyard entrance to line up with the Black Lumber Trail, which is scheduled for completion next year between Walnut and Henderson Streets. Reneisen would not comment on price negotiations, but said that the restaurant owners and city see a similar vision of Switchyard Park's benefits to Bloomington. No one wanted to put Wee Willies out of business, but since they're selling it, I'm hopeful we can come to an agreement, said Reneisen. Reneisen said the park could be open in 3 years. Development of Switchyard Park is expected to cost $25.5 million. It will be financed from a $48 million bond issue approved in May by the city council.
Some big money for some Wee Willies. From the Indianapolis Star, we talked about this last week with RBB Assistant Superintendent Jason Blutzinger. Struggles with grading I-STEP exams could delay those student test results until, Mr. Pillar, I know that you're going to appreciate this, until December.
That's awesome, Jim.
State education officials announced on Wednesday. That, in turn, could push the release of school accountability grades back to early next year. The State Board of Education also approved an application program for charter schools to seek loans from $50 million in funding for charters approved by the state legislature this year. Again, McGraw-Hill Education, CTB, we talked about it last week. They told the School of Indiana Board of Education members that changes made to this spring's I-STEP test have pushed back its grading work. That means, as we mentioned, that the exams that were completed in May will not be graded in return until probably the very end of the calendar year. Another big black mark for the I-STEP exam. They'd hope to have the information back mid-October, but apparently that's not going to happen. And any thoughts, Mr. P?
I've got so many thoughts on this one, Jim. I kind of wish that my compadre, Jason Blutzinger, was with us this week, too, because he would be about the same place I am, I fear.
And these numbers impact school budgets. They impact teacher evaluations,
yes.
Salaries, so many different things.
Yes. And it's, what do you say? What do you say? For years, we were told if we go all electronic, they'll be able to get the results turned around and pushed back more quickly. Instead, we deal with several years of technology problems on their end. Mm-hmm. We deal with a giant settlement on their end where they admit their screw-ups in so many different forms and fashions. You know, I don't even know what to say. It's a joke.
I wonder why the state legislature is now looking to see why we don't have as many people wanting to be
teachers.
Yeah,
there's a study for that, Jim. I can save them a bunch of money. They can just come down and hang out with me for a couple minutes. I can paint a pretty clear picture for them.
Yeah.
This is just it is believable. That's the problem. It's just ridiculous, Jim. I just hate it that we're coming to this,
right.
And there's just no end in sight for the incompetence that this is all laced in. And I just hate everything about it. I'm sorry to everyone that's stressed out about this. And that's why we try to tell parents so many times, don't let your kids get stressed out about this test. That's why we don't teach to the test. That's why we promote kids doing their best.
Yeah,
and yes, we do promote that around the test time because the fact of the matter is there is a lot at stake. With that being said, I want kids in music. I want kids taking foreign languages. I want kids exercising and having fun because we're basing the futures of teachers on this. We're basing the futures of kids on this, and it's an absolute joke. And I just wish anyone in the state legislature would listen to this, because this is, I'm just over it at this point.
Let me ask one: is there another company out there that does similar work?
There should be soon,
because I would think that they could do it well.
You would think that if there was anyone with those intents, that when they see these things, wouldn't you just jump on that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not that smart, Jim. I've never claimed to be, and I don't know everything about this whole process. But this is just messing with people. This is messing with student schedules, student placements. It's messing with teacher pay and evaluation all over the state. And there's so much wrong with this. It's just too much.
And Jason hit on all those points last week.
He was outstanding. I listened to that, and he was outstanding. Spot on, as always.
We're going to take a break. Come back with Indiana State Trooper Kent Rolfing. I got to get this right. Kent Rolfing is going to be here from the methamphetamine suppression team. A lot of good stuff, I promise. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here and David Pillar with you. And excited to have a first-time guest here on the show here this evening, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, you're waking up with us as well. Great to have you on board. Trooper Kent Rolfing is with us tonight. He's with the Indiana State Police Department, and he is part of the methamphetamine suppression section with them. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on board, although it's not a fun topic, obviously. I'm sure this isn't... I don't know if this is what you dreamed of when you were a little kid of being.
Well, it's the world we live in now, and I enjoy what I do. So,
well, talk about what you do. What does your position entail?
I'm a trooper out of the Bloomington Post, and I'm currently assigned to the methamphetamine suppression section. Myself and two other troopers are assigned to a meth team out of the Bloomington Post. The area we cover is Monroe County, and then all the counties that touch Monroe County. So there's a total of six counties.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when someone says they're part of the methamphetamine suppression section, all that means is they are certified by the DEA and OSHA in the identity process and cleanup of clandestine methamphetamine laboratories. We also deal with numerous other narcotics, including marijuana, heroin, your spice, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But our big forte is the methamphetamine.
And how long have you been in this role?
This will be my third full year being part of this section.
Okay.
Well, Kent, with meth being kind of in the news quite a bit, Breaking Bad, of course, was a huge TV show that kind of dealt with that. But overall, what's Indiana's drug culture and drug situation, and where does meth rank amongst all those?
Well, actually, the state of Indiana has actually led the country in meth lab seizures, I believe, the past 2 years, possibly last 3 years. Meth is probably the biggest drug, definitely in our area, I would say in the entire state of Indiana. It's you can either make it, or right now what we're seeing in is a transition from people making and manufacturing the methamphetamine and starting with the crystal methamphetamine, which comes from Mexico, and it's made by the Mexican cartel.
So maybe that's a double-edged sword. We're leading the country in meth, basically the meth lab bust. So that's good and that's bad, right? It's good because we're busting them. It's bad because there's a perception that there's maybe a lot here. And is that the case, that there are more here than there are other places, or just we're on it?
No, I don't believe that there's more here in the state of Indiana. I just believe that the state police and other agencies have realized that meth is a problem in our state, and we've concentrated a lot of our efforts just to stop the meth problem. And meth is everywhere in the country. In Midwest, it's very heavy. But I believe, just with us here in the state of Indiana, we've combated this problem, and we're trying to tackle it as best as we can.
Is there a demographic that meth tends to follow? Is it young kids, older folks, people, affluent people with more money, or is it just, it can be for anybody?
I've seen everything. I've been a part of a meth lab where a 13-year-old kid was manufacturing meth. I've been a part of a meth lab where a 95-year-old man was manufacturing using. It doesn't really matter. Once you get on it, you're basically in the ball game.
Wow.
Well, a couple people, you know, if you watch a couple episodes of Breaking Bad, you think you know all about it. But can you tell us a little bit about really what is meth? What's it made up of, and all of those maybe myths that go along with it, and how maybe it's made and what goes into it?
I've always heard the battery acid thing, and I always wondered, yeah, why would you put that junk in your veins?
Yeah, and a lot of people think the battery acid, you know, before I was basically trained to do what I'm doing right now, I was in that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, meth is a powerful, highly addictive stimulant that affects the central nervous system. That's basically the technical term, what mm-hmm. meth is. In our area, that people manufacture meth, the biggest way we see is called the one-pot method. And basically what that means is you can take a Gatorade bottle, a 2-liter Coke bottle, a water bottle, and put a couple ingredients in it. Let the reaction take place, and eventually you have meth. And you can go to your local stores that you see everywhere in town and buy all those ingredients needed just to manufacture the meth.
Is meth a liquid? Is it an injectable? Is it a powder? What's the form?
Well, if you manufacture it using the one-pot method, it'll come out into a powder form. And then to use it, you can break it down in a liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used in the powder form. The crystal methamphetamine is basically like if you take a Jolly Rancher, smash it with a hammer, and break it up, and that's what it looks like. and it comes clear. I know in Breaking Bad they made the blue meth and the red meth. I've actually just saw some red meth the other day.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know how they did that. I don't know if it was food coloring or how they did that. But normally it's clear. It looks clear, the crystal meth is.
Wow. So someone's on meth. What kind of physical symptoms are they showing that you could you tell if you saw someone on the street? Or, I mean, you've been around it now for a couple of years. What are you looking for?
Yeah, I can honestly walk around and I can tell if someone is using meth. Obviously, the people that have been using it a lot longer are more easy to spot out. But just a few things that I see, just warning signs, are extreme weight loss. You know, using meth suppresses your appetite. So extreme weight loss. There's a thing called meth mouth, where if someone uses meth enough, it'll basically rot out their teeth and mm-hmm. deteriorate their teeth. A person has high energy. They can't sit still. They're constantly fidgeting. We call that tweaking, where they basically just can't sit still. It's like they've drank 10 Monster Energy drinks and you just cannot sit still.
Wow. Well, Kent Rolfing is our guest today. Kent's from the Meta Amphetamine Suppression Section. You have to say that every time you go into a room?
Yes,
it takes a lot of work, I bet. Indiana State Police, really glad to have him with us. And so what's an addiction like? Do people do this and then are hooked, or is this something they get into or can get out of, or how does that work?
Yes, it's highly addictive. we were taught by the DEA, basically once you do it once, you're hooked onto it. I believe between 87% to 91% of the population, once they use it once, they are hooked, and they struggle the rest of their lives to get off the
That's scary.
Meth.
We haven't talked about marijuana yet, but I know that there are all these different levels of marijuana, the intensities, and I don't know if you call them even flavors kind of thing. Is it the same thing with meth? Can there be different levels? Because, I mean, I would imagine that once you're hooked, you're going to need more, and you're going to need stronger. Does that happen as well with all this?
Yes. Once you use it for the first time, it basically releases all the dopamine in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you get probably the best high and best feeling you've ever had in your entire life. Well, the problem with the meth is it basically destroys your dopamine cells. So once you use it for the first time and constantly use, your dopamine cells get destroyed, and you're always chasing that very first high. So you are right. The longer you use, the more you need through a, mm-hmm. you know, a period of time. And in the state of Indiana, there is levels of, you know, for possession, for example, depending on how much you have, the level of the felony goes up and the time that you have to serve or fines, et cetera.
How do you test somebody if they're using meth? Is it a blood test, urine test, all the above?
Yeah, to actually physically test a person to see if meth's in their body, you have to do a blood or a urine sample. One thing that we use is in OWIs, if a police officer has probable cause to believe that they're under the influence, they'll go through their steps that they need to do, and they'll request a blood test, and it's done at the local hospitals. And that blood is taken, and then it's sipped off to the labs, and then they will identify what's in their blood. But for me, when I deal with someone in my day-to-day job, you know, we're not testing people to see if they're on meth. We're just mm-hmm. making sure if it's in their possession, if they're manufacturing, if they're dealing.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah. meth is not a new drug.
No, that,
you were telling us before the break. I didn't know the history, the connection to World War II, even.
Yes, back in the early days of World War II, it was given to the kamikaze pilots to carry out the missions, and it's been around that long of time.
My wow. gosh!
And so you talked a little bit about the dealer part of that. Are people making it here locally, or is it coming in from other places? Are you seeing a mix? How's that work?
Yeah, I see a mix. The people that basically manufacture the meth. Basically, to manufacture meth, the one ingredient that you absolutely have to have is the pseudoephedrine. That's why when you go to your local pharmacies, you have to present your ID. You can only buy so much. You have to have the pseudoephedrine. The state of Indiana regulates the amount of pseudoephedrine you can have. So, for example, if you buy 3 grams of pseudoephedrine and you're a good meth cook, you may get to little less than 2.5 grams of methamphetamine to use. That's not very much. A person that's using meth for a long time, they can go through that pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the crystal meth that we talked about, and that's the Breaking Bad type of meth, that is shipped in. That can't be made in the U.S.
And why can't it? I mean, is it just the chemicals themselves?
Yeah, or? The type of chemicals that you need to, like I said, the pseudoephedrine, you got to have the pseudoephedrine.
Right.
You know, our federal regulations regulate all that stuff, and that certain type of chemicals are regulated by the feds, so we can't make that much meth in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, it's not regulated, so that's basically why it's made in Mexico. It's ran by the cartel, and they're in it for the money.
Yeah. What's the money value of that? Now, as you say, so if the guy goes and he gets those 3 boxes of Sudafed from the store, makes that into 2.5 grams of meth, what's the value of that?
Basically, it runs anywhere from 1 gram of meth, run from $80 to about $110.
Hmm.
Now, the more you buy, you actually get a little bit better deal on it.
Bulk discount,
yeah, the
right?
Bulk discount.
Sam's Club.
Kind of like
Sam's.
Coffee beans.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to get a discount.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to buy a gram, I've seen it as high as 120 and, you know, low as 80, 70 bucks.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Kent Rolfing. He is a trooper with the Indiana State Police Department in the methamphetamine suppression section. I rattled that one off,
yeah,
Mr.
I'm impressed. I have it phonetically on my sheet here, so if I ever try to say it again, I can get it. But I'm going to leave it to you now that you've proven that.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk more about drug use in Monroe County across southern Indiana. We'll continue with meth, but also we'll talk about heroin, some of these designer drugs like spice and bath salts, these different things that you see on, you know, local news and social media and all this other stuff. What exactly are they? Well, we'll hear that from Officer Rolfling here in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman, David Piller, and Trooper Kent Rolfling is here in the studio with us. We're talking about... I didn't say it right, did I?
It's okay.
Rolfing.
Been called worse.
No. I got to turn your mic up. I had the wrong one up. Rolfing. I'll get it right here. Okay. So we talked about meth in the last segment, but let's switch gears a little bit because there's these other narcotics out there. I've heard things about bath salts and spice and things connected to e-cigarettes. And, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Talk a little bit about your – I mean, I know you're in the meth area specifically, but what else – can you share about these kind of things?
Yeah, obviously meth's my forte, but obviously the bath salts and the spice, we call them synthetic drugs, is basically the mm-hmm. easiest way to lump them into one group. They've been around for a few years now. I tell you, I've dealt with close to 2,000 people that were extremely high on meth, and I've dealt with 2 people that I know that were high on the synthetics, and they were the most paranoia people I've ever dealt with in my career.
I mean, like completely out of their mind kind of thing.
Completely out of their mind. I mean, talking about like airplanes, you know, 747 Boeings flying into downtown Indianapolis on a clear day, and they thought that plane had been following them all day long. You know, just paranoia is just unbelievable. And it's very dangerous for, you know, law enforcement and, you know, the general public when people are, you know, that paranoid.
And this may be a stupid question, but I think I know the answer. The bath salts aren't the stuff that grandma puts in the tub.
No, they're
not. I mean, some people might think that is.
They do think that. No, they're not the bath salts that you put into the tub. And, you know, the first time I've ever dealt with it, you know, we had some training on it because basically how drug fads work for us is it seems like out west, California area, for example, they get the new drug, and it kind of just moves east across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was coming in that we were this new thing called bath salts, and spice is this new thing, and we got a little bit of training on it, but we hadn't ever dealt with it. And I've got a call back in the day when I was working the road that there was someone that wanted to harm himself and others and went and dealt with it, and I finally realized once I got to the hospital by the doctor at the hospital, the mental health specialist, that this guy was high on bath salts. And that was her third case that she had seen, my first case. And that was 4.5 years ago. And mm-hmm. it's been around. And the problem with the bath salts, and especially the spice, is the people that make it, they change the chemical compound almost, you know, monthly, yearly, you know, very in a small amount of time, that it's hard for us as law enforcement. I explained to you earlier, you know, our canine dogs, we can't train our canines because they change the chemical compound on mm-hmm. it so often, and it's just hard to pick up. And, you know, a lot of the people that are using this stuff put it in the e-cigs, and, you know, people, you know, younger kids that are in school, you know, go to parties and they think they're smoking, you know, this tobacco where it could be laced mm-hmm. with these other things, and it's caused a lot of overdoses in the state of Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah. That and addiction then, right?
Yes. I
mean, that's ultimately
yes.
the goal, right?
Yes.
So doesn't it make you wonder what's next?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of scary.
It is scary, and we think about this a lot. You know, I think it, like you said, one small change to a chemical compound, next thing you know, you've got something else. You've got a brand-new set of addictions, a brand-new set of potential clients for the folks that are dealing with stuff. But you're talking about something else that's so readily available. You talked about being able to go to the department store, the hardware store, the drug store, and pick up things you need to make this. What about prescription drugs? And are you guys seeing a lot of that? And what can you tell people about how to take care of their prescription drugs?
Yeah, there's a lot of people we deal with that prescription drugs is their choice of drug. You know, and that's something that, unfortunately, if, you know, someone has an injury and they get prescribed something, you know, and they get through their injury, you know, they might have some few extra pills, mm-hmm. for example, Vicodin, and mm-hmm. you can sell that on the streets to people that are addicted to it and make some money off of it. And, you know, that's kind of where the problem starts, is just it's readily available and people can go in, fill their scripts up and sell it to people that are addicted to it. And, you know, my biggest thing is if you're concerned, whether it's maybe a family member, a friend, that has access to your house, or maybe even someone that doesn't have access to your house and makes entry or breaks in, you know, try to lock your stuff up best as possible.
Right.
You know, most people keep it in the medicine cabinet in the kitchen, but, you know, unfortunately, these day and age, you've got to kind of maybe strategically hide that or lock it up in a safe, and especially if you have children at home.
Sure.
You know, they get into these things, and you don't want that to happen.
So what should people do when they've run the course of their prescription, or they've used the time but they still have leftover pills?
We actually, I believe it's once a year, maybe twice a year, we have a drug take-back program. And what we do is we open the doors to the Bloomington State Police Post, and then they can bring their extra pills in, and we'll take them off their hands, no questions asked, and they'll be destroyed in the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just sitting around the house for who knows how long.
Actually, mm-hmm. I did that when my grandfather passed away. He was on some different meds, and my grandma said, get it out. I don't want it around, anything like that. And
yeah, we see that a lot where, you know,
older people pass away.
Yeah, a family member passes away, and they have 1,000 bottles in their medicine cabinet. And, you know, instead of just throwing them in the garbage can where possibly somebody can actually get their hands on them, it's best to do it, you know, take it to the drug back.
Don't flush them down the toilet.
I was just going to say, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but I've heard that some of that stuff can't really be processed and cleansed through water if you do flush it down the toilet or down the garbage disposal or whatever.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't know how we destroy it. I just know we have the program. And
no questions asked.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Not at all.
But can't people get involved in this stuff? What are rehab options? Obviously, the criminal justice system might prescribe some things, but where do people look to get help in these situations?
Yeah, I you know, I just Googled on the Google search, and there I know that there's at least 10 places just here in Monroe County where there's rehab centers that people can go and get help. There was numerous places that popped up in the state of Indiana. You know, mm-hmm. Indianapolis has a ton of places, and we're just a short ways away. You know, there's places all over the country. You see it on, you know, the news and TV all the time. You know, people, the thing is people want to get help. They've got to be the ones that want to get the
sure.
help. That's my biggest thing. I've seen that, you know, people tell me that they want to get clean and they want to kick this habit, but unfortunately they don't get away from the people that they're constantly doing things with, and they get right back in that scene and they just cannot get away.
Right.
They can't get away from the drug. The addiction is just too strong.
Okay, and let's talk about heroin now. What's heroin like in Bloomington and across southern Indiana? Is that another big thing, or is it kind of phased out as well?
No, heroin is it's actually made a—we say it makes a comeback. You know, and it's only been in the last year, year and a half, 2 years that we've really seen the heroin come back. And that's the two biggest drugs I see, meth and heroin. Because your meth users use the heroin to come down off the meth, and then they'll use meth to come up off the heroin. Because the heroin's a downer, meth's an upper. And it's a vicious cycle that people are using. But, you know, there is a lot of people in this county and other counties around us that are hooked on heroin, and it's an awful drug.
Man.
And with all this, are people becoming numb to marijuana at this point?
Yeah, and I see it. You know, there's been numerous times I've made, you know, large amounts of large pounds of marijuana seizures. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the people that I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis, I'm dealing with the guys and gals that are using meth and heroin. But the marijuana is still around. It always will be. It's not going anywhere either.
What's the latest on Indiana law and marijuana? Are we allowed yet, or not allowed, or where do we stand?
Nope. It's there is no there's no medical purpose for marijuana in the state of Indiana. I honestly believe we'll be one of the last states in the country to legalize it if we ever do legalize it.
Probably.
But yeah, it's you know, it has no purpose, and you know, in the state of Indiana, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So,
okay, what should somebody do if they think somebody that they work with, somebody in their family, some kid that they know, whatever? What if they think they're on something, and maybe not right this second kind of thing, like you witness an accident, but just they've got the vibe or something. What do they do?
Yeah, if someone feels that there's something going on, something, you know, their neighbor or a family member or a friend, you know, suspicious activity, you know, they're showing some warning signs of some drug use, please, please, please call the Bloomington State Police Post. Ask, you know, give, you'll either get a receptionist or another trooper. You know, you can remain anonymous. That's the biggest thing, anonymous.
Really?
I have numerous people in my personal cell phone that I don't even know their real name. I just got them labeled as something else so I can remind myself of who I'm actually talking to, and I have no clue who they are. The only thing I know is they're a female or a male. That's it. And they will remain anonymous. They'll never be brought into the courtroom because they're anonymous to me. And, yeah, you can call and give us any information that you want to give us. And that's the biggest help for us these days, is people calling in and giving us tips.
Mm-hmm.
Because with this heroin and the crystal methamphetamine, you know, we just can't, you know, sit out on the side of the road and hopefully we know it's going by in a vehicle. We got to have some help, and it comes from the general public.
Is most of the tracking through these conversations, as opposed to things like excuse me, email, Facebook? I mean, I can't really imagine somebody putting on their Facebook page, come buy a dime bag. I mean, I don't know the terms. I'm stupid, but you know, I mean, whatever you buy. But I mean, is it pretty much through face-to-face interaction?
A lot of texting. I mean, the texting's the new way to communicate, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why cell phones are very important to us when we do search warrants and seizures of whatnot, because people that are dealing and using, they communicate through their cell phones, and there's a lot of information that's on there that we could use in the state's in defense and in court. But, yes, Facebook is used a lot, social media. Not too many people email. Unless I'm just haven't seen that yet, but you know, cell phones and social media is the biggest things. And there is face-to-face dealings that go on. Mm-hmm. But mostly, you know, it's through the social media and telephones.
Well, it's bad stuff, but we've got good guys chasing it. So,
yeah,
Kent, thanks very much. It's an awesome job.
Yeah, the Bloomington State Police phone number is 812-332-4411. And then you can look us up on the internet. Just Google Indiana State Police, and there's a couple on the main webpage. There's a place where you can go and leave information. And then on Facebook, you can track us down on Facebook. And like I said, you can remain anonymous.
And for those who remember the old post out on the east side of town, where is the post now?
Well, it's under construction.
Yeah, you can't get to it. You got a paratrooper in, right?
Yeah, okay. It's with 69 going through our area. It's actually at the it's off Packing House Road, okay. Which is just off Vernal, which is right off 37. Now that they've cleared a few trees, if you're northbound of right by Vernal, you can look to your left and you can almost see us down there.
Yeah.
We're tucked away in a little corner back there, and I don't know, with 69 going through, I'm not sure how we're gonna get out on the roads right now. We're in a detour like everybody else. So
tell me about it.
Well, again, Kent Rolfing's been our guest, trooper with Indiana State Police. Excellent job. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be back in just a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Mr. Piller, we've got about 5 minutes for this segment, and there's plenty to talk about.
All right. Reds are on the radio. That's what we're always talking about here. Tonight, 9:40, a little bit later, because they're in the desert visiting the Arizona Diamondbacks. But WGCL is your home for the Reds on the radio, not only tonight, but also Saturday and Sunday for the games in Arizona. And then this West Coast swing keeps going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, San Diego Padres. Those are 10-10 starts. So you're going to have to stay up a little later, Jim.
I will.
Wednesday, 3:40 in the afternoon on a getaway day, as the Reds are then going to be off to the Dodgers. Again, 10-10, 9-10, and then next Sunday, 4-10. So that gives you nine, Jim, count them, nine Reds games mm-hmm. in 10 days. We'll take that here on exactly. WGCL. Also, our other big news, as we've been talking about, because it's that time of year with school starting, it's football season. High school football starts on WGCL Friday, August 21st, Columbus East at Bloomington High School North. They'll be at 7 o'clock, which, again, the good news is high school football here on WGCO. It's football season. The bad news, Jim, only a half an hour of us on Friday night.
I know.
So
I know.
People should get their fill now. This kicks off over 115 games that will be on WGCL this year. Every Colts game, every primetime NFL game, Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays, and then select Sunday games when the Colts are not playing. There'll be playoff games. And then, again, the big deal, Super Bowl 50 on February 7th. So it'll be here before we know it. Also going to be here before we know it, other seasons. Guys, we've got IU soccer, number 14 in the preseason poll. Good friend Todd Yeagley and the IU footballers, the real footballers, as Glass would say. Number 14. So that's exciting. UCLA's number one defending national champion, Virginia number two, and Georgetown number three. But the Hoosiers will be in the top 14 to get the season started. Also jumping ahead a little bit to another season, IU men's basketball ranked number 14 by ESPN.com earlier this week in their preseason college basketball rankings. Number one team in the country, according to ESPN, is Big Ten foe Maryland. So we'll see how the Hoosier basketball team shapes up. I still think there's a scholarship there, Jim, and there's an assistant coach position that hasn't been officially filled either. So there'll be some news coming out of Assembly Hall here. Kyle Schwarber report. You know, we love to keep up with Kyle Schwarber. Former IU baseball catcher, now a Chicago Cub. He homered the other night in a losing effort in Pittsburgh. Hit a bomb. Kelly and I watching the game, and when he hit it, I said, oh, my gosh, just got under it. And the ball just kept going and going and going, and just out of the reach of Andrew McCutchen in center field, two-run shot that helped the Cubs bring the game back to even. But the Cubbies did lose that one. They're locked up in a pretty big series right now with the San Francisco Giants. Other local stuff, Sharice Otter and Emma Fisher, a bachelor grad and a Jackson Creek grad, had Bloomington South's ladies golf team off to a great start, winning their first tournament of the season the other day. So that's exciting stuff. And, Jim, we're getting close to college football season, which means the Indiana Hoosiers are about ready to take the field. Kevin Wilson, some good stuff on him in the media day and the things going on recently over the last week or week and a half. He knows he's in year five of a 7-year contract. And IU, of course, we were talking a lot about defense and how the Hoosiers can improve on a secondary that's been just a little bit leaky over the last couple years. Colts action training camp has started up there at beautiful Anderson University. And Gosder Cherlis was a casualty of the Colts, the offensive lineman that they gave tons of money to just a couple years ago, was cut. Concerns about work ethic, attitude, and some health issues keeping him off the field, and now he's going to be off the field more permanently. No one has signed him up. And also, Jim, if you've been following, or even if you've not, yes, Reggie Wayne has not been picked up yet by anybody. So I kind of have just this tiny little glimmer of hope that the Colts will bring him back, that something may happen and they need him. But I think the parting was amicable, but at the same time, I think it was such that he's just not in their future plans, regardless of the situation. Kind of hoping that he would have retired and ended a Colt, began a Colt, ended a Colt, but it didn't seem like he was quite ready. So let's watch that Reggie Wayne story and see what happens here over the next couple weeks in training camp as NFL players get hurt and things happen. But gosh, first weekend of NFL preseason, 2 weekends away, where the Colts will be hosting the Chicago Bears at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Hard
so how about
believe.
That? Jeez.
Yes. All right. And I didn't even touch on Deflategate last week, but I think that the New England Indianapolis game in a few weeks will be a little interesting.
That will be Tom Brady's first game back from suspension, and it will be a doozy.
We're going to take a break, wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller, just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again to Kent Rolfing, a trooper with Indiana State Police Department in the Methamphetamine Suppression Unit, and the good info there. We'll put all of his contact information, and if you want to be one of those anonymous sources, Mr. Piller, because he said, you know.
Yeah.
We can,
I don't
can text.
Anything. I got nothing.
All right. Well, we'll put all of that at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also at WGCLRadio.com on the podcast page. Forecast,
Jim,
sir.
Quick weather. Beautiful day today. Continues this evening. Partly cloudy, low around 62. Get those windows open. Air out the house. Saturday, catch us in the morning on the replay, but then enjoy a mostly sunny day, high near 83. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 67. Sunday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high near 83. All your weather, all the time, WGCLRadio.com.
Next week on the show, Vicki Pierce from Community Kitchen is going to be first-time guest here, and looking forward to hearing more about that and what all they do for the Bloomington community and surrounding areas as well. So looking forward to Vicki on next week.
Yeah, my beautiful wife Kelly is here. She's our pop culture expert. It's been a big week, Jim. Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton broke up. Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale, that one kills me.
And Reba McEntire and her husband,
yes,
split.
How about that, Kelly? Any comments on any of those? She's shaking her head. No. Jennifer Aniston apparently got married though today. Anything on that?
That's very exciting. If Jen is happy, I am happy.
There you go. Can you beat that, Jim?
No, I know. And you can't beat anything like that.
Hey, you people, be careful out here in town. We've got the IU students are moving back. Lots of apartment leases began last weekend, and we're going to have heavier traffic on the road. So be careful out there, and have a wonderful weekend to them and to you, my friend.
You too as well, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye.